Welcome to Managing Care Quality Improvement with the Qualitizer Process, the podcast for registered managers who want to lead with confidence, refine skills, and achieve exceptional results in service quality improvement. I'm Leslie Shaw, founder of Registered Care Manager and creator of the Qualitizer Process, and I'm here to provide you with trusted tools, practical tips, and actionable insights to help you succeed. Let's dive in and take the next step in your quality improvement journey. Hello, and welcome back to Managing Care Quality with the Qualitizer Process. I'm Leslie Shaw, and this is week two of the six-week success plan for 2025. If you're just joining us, don't worry, you can catch up on week one anytime, where we talked about reflecting on 2024 and getting clear priorities for the year ahead. This week, we're shifting our focus to something that's absolutely crucial for a successful care service, staffing. Now, we all know that getting staffing right can sometimes feel like spinning plates. You've got recruitment, training, well-being, and everything in between. But when you approach it strategically, it's a lot less overwhelming and a lot more rewarding. So let's spend this week making sure you've got a motivated, skilled, and supported team that's ready to take on 2025. So why does staffing deserve your focus? Before we dive into the nitty-gritty, let's take a step back and talk about why this is such a big deal. Staffing is the backbone of everything we do, and your team is the one that delivers the care, supports families, and keeps the operations running smoothly. If they're not happy, engaged, or properly trained, it ripples out. Residents notice, families notice, and it makes your job as a manager 10 times harder. So this week isn't just about covering shifts and ticking boxes. It's about creating a workforce that feels valued and equipped to give their best every day. With that in mind, let's break it down into manageable steps. This is where we will use a step-by-step action plan, which you can complete one step for one day of the week and complete it to build a solid staffing strategy for 2025. So let's get started. Step one is to assess your current staffing levels. Start by getting that clear picture of where things stand now. Think of today as laying the groundwork for 2025. So first, look at your staffing levels compared to resident needs or dependency levels. Do you have enough people for each shift? Are your dependency levels increasing, which might mean you need more support? Next, review trends from the year. Are there any patterns with staff turnover, recruitment challenges, sickness levels, use of agency or bank staff? Get it all out clearly so you can see what you have. And finally, identify the gaps. Are there key roles you need to fill? Are there areas where your team could do with upskilling? Are there areas of the year where you need to think about more structured planning to cover? By the end of today, you should have a list of what's working and what's not. And you should be able to see where the gaps are. And that's a great starting point. Let's move on now to step two, planning your recruitment strategy. Now, I know we're only really dipping into this very briefly. That's a whole sort of podcast in its own, and I'm sure I'll do one in the future. But for now, you know where your gaps are, and it's time to think about filling them. And recruitment can often feel daunting, particularly with the current climate in health and social care and so many challenges around recruiting. But a little planning does go a long way. Here's what I think we should focus on. First, refresh your job descriptions. those job descriptions that you're using in your adverts that you're putting out, are they clear? Are they realistic? But most importantly, do they reflect what the role actually involves? And to be honest, I'm always surprised when I go into various services to see how often very, very generic care assistant or healthcare worker job descriptions are being used that actually have very little in common with what the actual role that they're recruiting for is. I know I worked with a specialist service looking after children, and there was no way in the job adverts and the job descriptions they were using that you would have picked up that it was a specialist service for children because they were so generic to healthcare worker job descriptions. And they were really losing a lot of advantage in showing how unique they were in their recruitment processes. So please don't do that. So once you've refreshed your job descriptions, made sure that you're not using one that's 10 years out of date and doesn't reflect the care service that you actually run in the here and now, map out your priorities. Which roles do you think you need to fill immediately and which can wait a few weeks? And then start to plan your compelling. And think about where you're going to advertise. Social media, are you going to use local job boards, in local shops, even word of mouth? And don't forget to make your care home stand out. Highlight your values, your team culture, and any benefits that you can offer. And don't underestimate the power of referrals. Your current team knows what it takes to work there, so why not encourage them to recommend someone? And maybe you can even offer a small incentive for successful referrals. Doesn't always have to be money related. By the end of today, you'll have a clear recruitment plan ready to go. So let's move on to step two, professional development conversations. Now, this is one of my favourite aspects of doing a staffing plan. It gets to sit down, you get to sit down with your team and talk about their goals. And you can focus on one-on-one conversations with your team. Now, you may want to schedule it as part of the appraisal process, or you may want to do it in a more informal chat with individuals in your team. But ask them, what are they proud of? What do they want to work on? And how can you support that in 2025? And look out for rising stars in your team, those who are ready to take on more responsibility, those who may benefit from leadership training to plan for succession planning in the future. Because ultimately, these conversations aren't just about performance, they're about building trust and showing your team that you're investing in their growth. And that kind of support goes a long way in creating loyal, motivated team members. So we're now into step five. We're moving fastly, I know. Time to build your development plan, or as often more commonly termed, training calendar. All right, now you know what your team needs. Let's focus on training and development for your team. Because a well-trained team is a confident team, and that benefits everyone. So here's what to do for this step. Start with the essentials, that's a given. Mandatory training needs to be plotted out to maintain compliance, safeguarding infection control, Mental Capacity Act, DOLS, Dignity, I could go on. Get that out across your planner as a given. But now it's time to add skills-based training that's pertinent to your service. It may be dementia care, it may be end-of-life care, advanced skills training, it may be training on your new technology software. Whatever you think will enhance the quality of care in your service. And don't forget leadership development. Your senior staff are the ones who keep things running smoothly day to day, so invest in them. The key to creating a successful development plan is to make sure that your training is engaging for everyone. So yes, I know that it is very common now that we use e-learning portals, particularly for our mandatory training. It's cost effective and it ensures compliance. But building workshops, you may want to do them internally, building mentoring programs for team members, and mix it up to keep things interesting. By the end of this step, you'll have that initial draft training development planner to share with your team for 2025. Now it's time to move on to step five, prioritising staff wellbeing. Now, let's be honest, staff wellbeing can sometimes feel like an afterthought, but it shouldn't be. A happy, supported team is a productive team. We all know that. So to take time to look at your wellbeing initiatives, what's actually already in place? Are there things like mental health support? Is there opportunities for flexible working? And is that being used? And what is actually being valued by your team members? But here's where you can do more. Maybe it's planning extra support during busy times. Maybe it's setting aside regular check-ins with staff to listen to how they're feeling. Maybe it's those little gestures that become more embedded in your culture, but mean such a difference to people. It's things such as making sure that it's a given that team members get their regular breaks, that they have time off the floor if it's a care home, that they have time to travel, that there's an understanding if they're working with somebody that's more complex or challenging in behaviour, that they have some step-aside time. It may be as simple as having a culture of appreciation and thanking team members for what they do. Staff wellbeing initiatives doesn't always have to be complicated and it doesn't always have to be expensive. Finding out what makes the most of your staff and implementing those rewards and thank yous and a culture of acknowledging the hard work goes such a long way. Step six, it's now time to pull it all together, because you've done so much in the previous five steps. And today it's bringing it into one cohesive plan. So it's time to document everything that you've gathered or pull it all together. Now, this does not have to be an absolute complex plan, but seeing it written or typed out, something that you can use as a go-to, is really important. So what should go into this? It should be your review of your staffing levels and any gaps and any aspects that you have identified needs addressing. It should have your recruitment plans. It should have your training schedule and development plans, both for the service you're running and for the individual team members in the service. And it should have any identified wellbeing initiatives that you are planning to implement over the next year. Because this plan is actually your roadmap for the year ahead. And it's a roadmap you can share, not just with your senior team and your staff team to get their input, but it can be shared with external organisations, CQC, local authority commissioners, because it's your evidence that you have got a robust staffing plan, which is reflective in inspection questions and we statements. We're now finally at step seven, which is kickstarting the action. And in the registered care manager model, we always review, clarify, and move with momentum. So it's about launching those little things that you can do now to get that momentum moving. So it might be that you launch your recruitment plan before January and get ahead of perhaps a lot of your competitors that are thinking, well, I'm in December, nobody's going to be looking for jobs, I'll wait till January. You'll be ahead of the game and your advert will be the ones that are seen. So get those ads out and start spreading the word. Share the training calendar or development plan that you've started to create with your team, because it lets them know what's coming up and how it will benefit them. And that's a motivator. And start to follow up on any conversations, whether they were one-to-one or part of the appraisal process that you didn't get to earlier, so that nobody is missed out. And it may be that at the end of this section of steps, you have a quick team meeting or even an email if that makes more sense to make sure everybody sees it, to thank everybody for their input and to share your vision for 2025. Starting the year with clarity and momentum makes such a difference. So there you have it, week two, staffing strategy. By the end of this week, if you follow each of the steps, you'll have a clear understanding of your team's needs, you'll have a solid recruitment plan, and you'll have a roadmap for training and well-being. Next week, we'll be diving into compliance, which is ultimately a fundamental for a successful 2025. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep leading with purpose. Thank you for tuning in to Managing Care Quality with the Qualitizer Process. I hope today's episode has provided you with valuable insights and practical tools to help you on your quality improvement journey. Remember, you don't have to do this alone. We're here to support you every step of the way. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with others and don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an update. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so feel free to leave a review or connect with me directly. Until next time, take the lead, keep improving, and continue to make a positive impact in the care you provide. Join us again soon.